The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Yes, yes, welcome along to the Continue Club and another retro episode of Press X to Continue. And this week, we're taking you back to November 2020. This was a time where Joe Biden beat Donald Trump in the US election. I wonder what happened to that guy. Chani D'Amelion, she became the first person to hit 100 million followers on TikTok. On that note, you can find us there. Just search for Press X Pod, by the way. And as for Press X, at that time, we were... And as for Press X, before it was allowed on all these other platforms, we were chatting in that time to the UK rapper H about Call of Duty. He's stormed the charts, isn't he, H? And he was chatting to us about how video games have helped him on that journey. Comedian Glenn Moore, Twitch streamer Rage Darling, joined us as well to chat about the shooting franchise and some other lovely Press X stuff from back in the day.
What did we have first, I think, Ed? The original Xbox, not the 360, just the normal Xbox, you know what I'm saying? And then it was the PSP. And then I went PS3, and then I think I went Xbox 360. I've been, you know what I'm saying? I've been skipping, you know what I'm saying? But right now, I'm a PS5 man now. I just got a PS5.
Yeah, so you enjoyed it.
I've not played it yet. It's like my mum, it got delivered to my mum's house, and I'm in Dubai, you know what I'm saying? So I'm waiting to go home and play it.
So you'll have worked hard on your tan in Dubai and then you're going to go and sit inside and play a PS5 for a bit?
Exactly, and I'm not coming out for a good couple of weeks.
Well, can you remember what what game it was that sort of grabbed your attention and made you want to keep playing?
Definitely Call of Duty, 100%. I don't know what it is. It's addictive. It's addictive. I'm not going to lie. It's addictive. Call of Duty has been... I think it was Modern Warfare 2 that hooked me. That was the one.
Are you one of those people that loves doing the story mode, or are you actually someone who's more about the multiplayer?
I think every time I get a new one, I always start on the story mode, whether I finish it or not. Usually I would finish it, but right now, I reckon if I was to get the new one right now and go, I reckon I'd just go straight to multiplayer, I think. But back in the day, like over the years, I've been doing the story mode.
I always like using the assault rifles. Are you an AR guy? Are you an MP5 guy? What do you like using?
I do like an MP5, you know, I'm not going to lie. I think it differs between whether I'm playing Warzone or multiplayer or whatever, or, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't really have a favourite. I like to think I'm good with a sniper as well, but I don't know. The man them would say different. The man them would tell you different, to be fair.
Everybody likes to think they're good with a sniper until it's in you.
Get one or two crit scopes, you think you're the guy, but it's not really that, is it?
A lot of people have been turning to games, haven't they? You know, in the first lockdown, did you find yourself playing some more in that time? Did it help you? Because me and my mates were on Warzone all the time. How was it for you?
Like, lockdown drawn me in 100%. You get me. I didn't really have much else to do. It was literally, I was just going back and forth studio. In the game, studio, game, studio, game, studio, game, you know what I'm saying? So I think lockdown definitely, a bit of both really, because it drew me in and it made me play loads, but then it also burnt my head, and sometimes I have to get off and think, wow, I'm playing this too much. You know what I'm saying? My eyes are burning. I need to step back a bit, go get some fresh air. But yeah, lockdown. It made me better, though. Lockdown made me better.
Who's the best rapper you play with or played against? Or was it you?
It might be me. Nah, I don't know. Who I played with? I played with Jesse Lingard. I think I played with Notes. Notes is quite good. AJ is apparently good. I've never played with AJ. But AJ is supposed to be pretty good.
You have called out all the rappers a little bit by saying that you're the best player.
Do you know what? To be fair, yeah, I'm not even going to lie to you, yeah, and the man them hate me for this. I'm not a join the party guy. I don't really join the party and play with others. I'm not going to lie. I know that sounds boring, yeah, but I can't concentrate when man are shouting down my ear and I'm trying to play the game. And my head gets fried when I can hear people talk and hear the gameplay in my head. And da-da-da-da-da, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know how I feel about this.
I know. Neither does none of my friends, but I like to do solo dolo. You know, I'm not gonna lie, but I do play with other people. Don't get it twisted when I have to, and like, but really, if I'm totally honest with you, I'd rather jump on a solo Warzone thing. I'm not gonna lie. I like multiplayer, and I like to go on multiplayer, and I like it when my whole team is everyone in the party. That's good. I like that, you know what I'm saying? So we can all move together on multiplayer. But on Warzone, catch me solo, catching dubs. That's me. Because I started getting my first Ws on Warzone, like on solo, do you know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, yeah, I don't need no one. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Lone Ranger H.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I'm going to change my gamer tag to on my PS5, Lone Ranger H.
There we are. Great. I too. I'm quite pleased I came up with that on the spot there. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, thanks to you.
Now, AJ Tracy's got a tune about Zelda, hasn't he? Have you ever thought about doing a tune about Call of Duty or any other games?
I've got a song called Mario Kart.
How have I missed that?
Yeah, it's old. But you'll like it. You'll like it. It's a fun song.
I need to go and check that out now, don't I?
Mario! Test H like what? Come again, tell a man. Rest up in the booth, key don't go hard. No. I do on the beat, man, come like Mario Kart.
And how I'm rapping, I be lapping, man, with bars. Yes, yes. I'm ahead by far.
That was on my very first EP that I released. That was on my very first little project. That was in 2017, I think that came out.
Yeah. The show is how good my research was then, H, because I've obviously your stuff gets played on 1XL and Radio 1 all the time. I thought, I've got it.
You know what I mean?
Happened?
Nah, do you know what? I don't blame you for missing that one. That's old. We can let that one slide. It's an old song.
Okay, fine. As long as you don't hold it against me.
Yeah, never.
We had Stormzy was on the BBC the other day because he's did his music video in the Watch Dogs game recently. Would you be up for doing a music video in a game one day?
Yeah, that'd be sick. Tell Call of Duty to holler me, man.
Yeah, we heard it here first.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to do that.
And what do you think's got the best? There's a lot of people love FIFA, don't they, for the soundtrack. Have you got like a game that you think's got a brilliant soundtrack?
FIFA's got a sick soundtrack. Obviously, man's on it these days, you get me? UFC has some good ones sometimes, but sometimes it's rock music. I'm not the biggest fan of rock music. But UFC sometimes has some good ones. And Fight Night used to have some good rap songs. I used to play Fight Night and it was some like good old school rap tunes as well. But I reckon you got to give it to FIFA for the soundtrack thing. They always kill it with the soundtrack. Even like people know songs because of FIFA, do you know what I mean? Not because of anything else.
Is gaming for you something that you do to sort of to chill out, to get away from it all? Is that, or what do you game for?
It's kind of like my thing I do when I get home, when I finish my day and I feel like I ain't got nothing else to do, you know what I mean? I just go home, chill, put the game on, you know what I'm saying? And just, I'm not like a 4 o'clock in the morning guy. I'm not on it for like 8 hours till 4 o'clock in the morning, you know what I'm saying? But just like to have a couple of games at the night time, maybe one in the morning before I start my day, you know what I'm saying? And that's me. It's just my little, I don't know what it is. It's like my little chill time when I'm on my own.
Your fans listening to this, what have they got to look forward to coming from you then? What's the next couple of months in
Oh, okay. So I'm going to be shooting a couple of videos in these next couple of months. And then the start of the year, January, February times, I'm back. You get me? I'm back at it. Bam, 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 bam. Every month, you get what I'm saying? Just keep your eyes peeled, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so busy 2021 then.
100,000%, 100 million percent. This is going to be one of the maddest years.
Well, look, if you ever need any, you know, Welsh news readers for your, you know, for your videos.
Say no more. I'll be giving you the first call up.
I mean, yeah, I should expect so.
And you give me my new gamer tag from my PS5, Lone Ranger H.
That's actually got a ring to it.
Yeah, trust me. Watch when you see me play the new COD. That's what I'm going to be called. I'm not even joking. Watch. I'm going to start showing my gameplay. It's going to be mad. Trust me. I'm going to prove I'm the best.
So Lone Ranger H, if he does actually go and change his gamer tag to that, I'm taking full credit for that one, which I'm quite pleased with.
You should have told him to get like Stefan H or something like that, just so everyone would be able to like pin it back to you specifically.
I've got a really boring gamer tag. It's just my name with a number in the end.
Oh, you're one of those numbered people.
Yeah.
Aww.
I'm 17. That's
so me. Like when you see a Russian bot on Twitter, so it's just your name and then loads of digits afterwards.
Is that you? Seriously, Steph?
It's just my name.
Are you one of those guys with a name and a number?
Yeah.
Well, are you like the 12,000 Steph?
No. To be fair, a number has special meanings. The number I used to wear when I played sport. So it's like my, you know, my number.
Oh, you're one of those. My partner's that as well. He's like, so he's his name, and then it's 23. And I'm like, why 23? And he's like, oh, it's because it was my number in football. I'm like, yeah.
Mine was a mistake. So I didn't realise when I first got a gamertag, which must have been like Modern Warfare 2, I reckon, or like Metal Gear Solid 4. We're talking about 10 years ago. I didn't realise that it would be like a public thing. So I just went with just my full name. And it was odd because usually, like, it's fine. I mean, like, no one's like trapped me down or anything like that. But it's really
himself.
Annoying because, like, if you get killed, but you know, if ever you kill someone in Warzone or whatever, you're like, oh, I just killed BHC286 or whatever. But if someone kills me, it's sort of like, you just killed Glenn Moore and he lives at number 28 on Sunday. You're like, it's so humiliating. Everyone knows everything about me then. They know my full name. I hate it so much.
At least you know you've got your mobile number on there as well, so he can text you some abuse as well. Did you put much thought into yours, I know?
Not so much. Nowadays, I think people kind of see it as more of a branding thing to kind of keep everything consistent. Back when I first joined Xbox Live on the original Xbox, this was about 14 years ago, I think. I can't even say what my name was, because basically the name I had, I got written to by Microsoft by email like a couple years later saying, yeah, you might have to change your name.
What?
And they let me change my name for free. Because before you had to pay to change your name, but they're like, yeah, you could change your name to something else. You just can't have that one.
What was it?
I can't say it. It's BBC, you know.
Tell us and I'll bleep it out. I promise I'll bleep it out.
I was known as the Sexy G.
Oh, that's not too bad.
If Microsoft specifically have to get in touch with me and go, are you sure? Are you 100% sure?
That you, yeah? That how you're moving?
Sexy G, that's not so bad. I mean it's an awful name, but it's not offensive.
Got, well, hey, I was young, man. Come on, this is a while ago. Yeah, Rage wasn't even born. Come on. But like, do you know what it was? Because back in the original Xbox Live, they used to have a feature. I don't know if you guys remember this. They used to have a feature where you could use voice modulation and you could change the sound of your voice to sound like a robot or a whiny kid. And it was an absolute nightmare. But it was like one of the selling points of Xbox Live when it first started off. You could sound like a five-year-old kid if you wanted to. That, and troll wow. your friends. That's how they marketed it. Obviously, they took that feature out.
It would have been so much yeah. better if they were like, if you're 5 years old, we can change your voice to like a 90-year-old man.
You could. There was all sorts of different voices. One was a robot. And you know how annoying it is to have one of those voice modulators on people. You know, people disguise their voices and things. How annoying that would be if you're playing Call of Duty and you have those sounds on. That's what the original Xbox Live, you could do. You could do that.
Well, look, let us know what your dodgy first gamer tags were. Was it as bad as Inel's? Is it as boring as mine?
Or like me, did your parents put more thought into it than you? So, I think it's good to have a bad name, to be fair, because also, bear in mind, people only really see it if they get killed by you in Call of Duty. So my current Warzone team, we're called the Winky Boys, just to make it humiliating for anyone who gets killed by us.
Look at that kill-death ratio on Winky Boy.
Winky's been sent to the gulag.
Well, look, yeah, let us know whether your current gamer tag is something you're embarrassed about, whether your old gamer tag is embarrassed, or maybe you've been encouraged to change yours to something really cool like Sexy G or Raging.
Hey, it was the Sexy G. Thank you.
My bad, Einar. My bad. I'm sorry, mate.
If you're going to take the mic, you got to get it right.
I've got to get it right. Then let us know. Hashtag press X and continue. On the pod this time, we have got Einar. Busy week for you, Einar. What's going on?
It's a very busy week, which is why I've got my cup of tea in my hand, you know, just to, you know, relax and unwind into this podcast. But I'm going to be talking about Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, today.
Yeah, it's the PS5 sort of big come and buy us because you can play Miles Morales in full jazzy HD with your DualShock and your 3D audio and all that
stuff.
Hey,
hey, hey, HD, Ultra HD, remember? 4K, come on.
Sorry. Ultra HD, give it the proper sell. Get that tea down here. Tell you what, it's not a podcast unless you're drinking a cup of tea, is it?
No. I'm pretty certain some listeners are drinking some tea listening to this as we talk.
My wife's just come in right from work, and I'm hoping she can hear me now, because then I'm hoping that what she's going to do is bring a tea in. She's listening.
Yeah, you got the door shut. You got to open up the door if you're going to do that. Yeah,
so, she, you know, if a tea was to just miraculously appear right about now, that would be perfect. I know, you've made me jealous.
I'm just gonna WhatsApp her to say specifically don't make you a tea. And focus on your job, okay?
Well, thank you very much, Glenn, for that, for raining on my parade. Now, you're here
great
today,
segue
Glenn,
into
talk
Glenn
about...
being here, though.
Now, Glenn, you're here to talk about Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah, one of the games that's sort of reaching the gap between the old generation and the new generation. I played it on the PS4 for probably the final time last night before I take my PS4 out to pasture. And then with my PS5 arriving today, I'm excited about getting stuck right back in again with this upgraded version of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah, because we were expecting you to have a sort of a nervous glint in your eye today, waiting for that, you know, lots of people have been waiting for their PS5 to arrive, checking the tracking number. I know it was all about that.
Oh,
but actually, yours came bright and early and it's already here.
It came disappointingly early. In fact, I was hoping for a bit of tension, but actually, it's like in an action movie, if they defuse the bomb with like 28 minutes to spare, you'd be like, oh, well, kind of stakes weren't that high.
You've got a thing also. I don't know if we're just throwing you all the games that are sort of vaguely historical, because, you know, Iron Age England for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, now the Cold War.
Yes.
I don't know if we're sort of pigeonholing you into the history games guy. I don't know.
It depends what they are. I mean, it's fine if it's like Age of Empires or Crusader Kings or anything like that, but if it ends up sort of being about, I don't know, like the Industrial Revolution and some like text-based game about Britain's factories in the 1890s, and obviously, you know, please count me out. But as it stands, I'm really enjoying these historical ones.
And finishing off our party, we've got Rage. How's your week been, Rage? Have you annoyed any more console gamers?
You know what? I think my DMs and my mentions have been pretty safe recently. I haven't annoyed that many people, it seems. So I guess I'm just not trying hard enough.
We're trying quite hard last time we had you on. Now, Rage, you've got off lightly this week because you're not actually reviewing anything for us today. You're just getting, you've got lots of thoughts to chuck in on Morales and Cold War.
Yeah, I'm basically going to be the reviewer, I'd like to think. So these guys are going to come with their thoughts and their opinions on these games, and I'm going to be like, I wonder if it is worth it. Because I don't have any of these games. I don't have a PlayStation either, so I couldn't even get Spider-Man. But who knows? Maybe
this is going to tip you over the edge, Rich. This is going to
be
the one. Well, look, lots to talk about. And we've already touched on it, actually, Glenn, because yours turned up on time, but... I don't know, on social media, people are pretty annoyed about getting access to their PS5s and their Xboxes, to be fair, because they have basically sold out everywhere, aren't they? It's been a nightmare for people.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I tried to... this is the first time I've ever had a console for the day one launch. I don't think I've ever bought a console earlier than like 2 years after it's come out. So this is the earliest it's ever come for me, but it did involve getting up at like, you know, 5 a.m, to try and get those sort of pre-orders, most of which had sort of sold out at the time. And they don't appear to have been greatly restocked over the course of the past couple of months. So it's tricky for people. And, you know, my heart goes out as I lovingly caress the PS5 I do now have to anyone who hasn't arrived or anyone who hasn't been able to get one yet. But like you'd imagine Sony are going to start really pushing those out again soon, especially in the build-up to Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Ryan said to us in our interview with him last week, which you can go back and listen to, the boss of PS5 spoke to us. It's in our PS5 special that's on BBC Sounds. Go and check it out. He was saying basically that they've created more PS5s than they had a PS4 at launch, I know. But even that is not enough, is it? Lots of people taking to Twitter and venting their frustration and getting around 49,000 people in the queue at Currys virtually online on Thursday morning. Crazy.
Do you know what it is? I think it's because of this pandemic is exasperated the situation, and it's made it a lot harder for people to who would normally wake up nice and early, head to their local, you know, retail store, queue up in the morning to secure one, or do like a midnight launch. Those people have been forced to kind of contend with the online madness, getting into queues and fighting bots in order to kind of get one, and it's been very difficult. And I do feel for people because I do feel like the retail stores did let us down a bit in terms of their systems and the queue structures that they had. It was a mess, absolute mess.
I feel like the idea of being able to buy a console on launch day is going to feel like when old people talk about the past, and it's sort of like, wait, so you used to be able to smoke in restaurants, and they're like, yeah, and you're like, sorry, you used to be able to walk into a shop and just buy the console there, and then I'd be like, yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Not accessories anymore. As well. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to worry about any of this rage anyway yet, do you? Because you're still sitting back thinking about what to do.
Yeah, pretty much. And by the sounds of it, like not making enough like units for the amount of people that want it, I'm guessing I don't have to worry about it until like Christmas or gone Christmas, until they actually have stock for me to buy. So I guess I still have some time to sit back, relax. Yeah.
There must be some crazy, brilliant stories out there of people that managed to wangle an Xbox Series X or a PS5, somehow managed to get hold of one. Lorry happened to pause outside their house and they bartered with someone or got in luckily with a click of a refresh button or whatever. If you've got a weird, wonderful story about getting hold of your console, let us know. Share it with us. Hashtag PressX to continue. You know what to do. And also keep sending your messages in. It's brilliant hearing from you all and reading your messages about the pod. Thanks for getting in touch. Keep them coming. Hashtag is PressX to continue. Right, talking about Call of Duty. If you've been killed by the Winky Boys on Warzone, also feel free to tell us about that experience. Hashtag PressX to continue. Let's get into it then. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. The brand new COD game came out recently. It's on your PS4, your PS5, your new Xboxes, the PC as well. It's £50 and upwards. Glenn, you've been reviewing this one for us. How have you found it?
I've really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm a big Call of Duty fan anyway, and I think if you're a fan of Call of Duty, you play it for two things. I think 90% of people play it for the multiplayer, and maybe 10% of people play it for the campaign. That's why we've had entire games which have had really minimalist or no campaign at all. This one feels a bit of a departure from previous games in that there's actually a really meaty, decent campaign, which is like 7 hours or so of content, which is great fun and so much longer than they've done in the past of like World War II games and the like. And also feels like a decent amount of time for a campaign. Like it's about half the length of what you get in like a Naughty Dog storyline driven game. And if in a game where it is just sort of shooting, but it sort of wraps up in a sort of decent amount of time. The multiplayer as it stands isn't as good as previous games, but we know it's going to get better. It's quite minimalist. Zombies at the time of us doing this only had one map. The multiplayer's only got a few maps, not as many as they usually do. It is obviously going to improve, but as it stands, it's not really, if you're there for the multiplayer, it's not like urgent that you get it right now, because it is something that's going to develop and get better.
Yeah, the storyline, so I've been playing a fair bit. I've been playing on the PS5, so it's interesting to see the comparison between the PS4 and the PS5 version. The campaign feels very different, I think, to previous campaigns. Yes, obviously there's the bombastic big action sequences that you expect in a Call of Duty, but there's also, you know, early on sneaking around. I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but you're sneaking around West Berlin, you're meeting an undercover agent, you've got more agency and more choice rather than just being sort of rushed down like a roller coaster ride, which is traditional Call of Duty. So I've quite enjoyed that little wrinkle of the campaign.
It felt so different. They did it in World War II. There was one mission that was very, very similar in terms of infiltrating a building and being a spy. But they've definitely changed things in that there are sort of dialogue choices which vaguely affect storyline decisions. There's collecting of evidence which then affects sort of how you sort of deal with missions. It's a lot more involved than previous Call of Duties in terms of just, right, we're going to land you here, kill these people, move on, and then you'll be in this new town and you don't really care about any of the people you're with. This sort of, you're with a sort of close-knit team, and after each mission you go back to the same sort of hub, you have conversations and you get to sort of know them that way. And it's certainly a lot more developed than previous Call of Duties. That's not to say that I cared about any of the characters. I think if you're playing
Call
of Duty,
Glenn, have a heart.
You're not there. What can I say? I had a soft spot for Reagan in that game. But I think that there's something, if you're playing Call of Duty, then chances are you're not playing it for the campaign. And if you are playing it for the campaign, chances are you aren't really necessarily playing it for a really sort of involved story or anything like that. So that is a nice sort of bonus. But I feel like when it does slow down and those sort of hub moments that you have in between missions, I couldn't really be bothered. When it presents you with so much bombastic action that you just kind of want that the whole time, and you don't really care about the sort of downtime. I feel like playing Call of Duty is a bit like when you're sort of queuing up for a roller coaster and they sort of show you a video beforehand and they're like, there is no escape, and you're like, just let me on Oblivion. This kind of felt a bit like that in that regard. But in terms of the action, there's no other game like it, really. Not many games come close to it, because the campaign is quite short. It means everything feels so perfectly choreographed, and the game feels like it was written by an explosion. It's everything that can explode does explode. And because, as I said, because it is short, and obviously, you know, Activision have got a hell of a lot of money and put a hell of a lot of effort into these things, you really feel like the NPCs and all the other characters around you do move and behave in a really realistic way. And there's none of that sort of typical video game thing of like, oh, this person just was hiding behind cover and then they suddenly walk out into an alleyway and completely get shot or whatever. There's none of that. Everything felt like it had been written, and it felt really, really nice. And you almost sort of want to stop at certain moments and admire it, because so many games don't hold up to that scrutiny. Like in so many games where if you like walk into a bar and there's two characters chatting, it's a bit like if you sort of go into a museum and they've got one of those like animatronics that's like, I work in the blacksmiths at Hampton Court Palace. And you know that if you hang around for another 30 seconds, they're going to say the same thing. But it's like none of that in Call of Duty. It all feels so, it feels like a really like well-rehearsed play almost. It's really some of that is incredible.
I'm that 10% that Glenn was talking about that plays Call of Duty for the campaign over the multiplayer. Don't get me wrong, I do enjoy the multiplayer. If I'm playing with a good group of friends, I like the thrill of going around in teams and doing some team deathmatch or whatever is amazing, and Call of Duty is one of the best for that. But I'm one of those people over recent years where it felt samey, and I got that kind of feel. It was almost like I had with FIFA, where you had to buy the new one each year, otherwise you got left behind. If you was on the last one, and when the new one came out, everyone moved over to it, no one was playing it anymore, and all my friends that were playing the previous one are on the new one now, and I had to kind of re-up. And then if I did re-up, there wouldn't be anything to really entice me into kind of, they've tweaked this, or they've added wall running this time, or now we've got jetpacks, or they're taking the jetpacks out. And then, okay, and then it feels like this one now. And it's like I just fell out of love with the multiplayer thing of it. And particularly when it kind of moved more towards being an e-sport kind of thing, people were playing it a bit more seriously, whereas I just play it for fun. It's like just a good laugh where it's like, yeah, come on, let's shoot them up. Where I was finding the community around it was becoming a lot more serious. Mm. And if you let the team down, you'd hear over the voice chat, everyone shouting at you, oh, bruv, why did you get that kill? It was an easy kill, you know? And I don't know, I don't need that anxiety when I'm playing a multiplayer game. I just want to enjoy the ride, which is probably why I play the campaigns more. But over recent years, hasn't really engaged me too much. But what Glenn was saying about this one, I do like the choices you get. I do like returning to like a hub afterwards after a mission and engaging with like the characters in that regard, because that reminds me a bit of like Wolfenstein, the last Wolfenstein game, where you would do that return to base. So potentially I might pick it up.
Yeah. Ridge, what about you? Where are you with Call of Duty? What sort of player are you? Are you more a multiplayer person, or do you like getting your teeth into the campaign?
I do really like the campaigns. Like I prefer campaigns over multiplayer, similar to what I now said about multiplayer. It's kind of the same-ish, but I buy Call of Duty for the zombies.
Do you? That's interesting, because I've got some thoughts on the multiplayer, which we'll get onto. It's why I spend a lot of time playing with my mates. I enjoy the campaigns for what they are. I've never ever gone to the zombies thing. So, but you're all over it, are you?
Yeah, and it surprises me that people that have Call of Duty don't play the zombies, because it's like another version of the campaign. There's a story written within the maps, written within the Easter eggs, and if you unlock the Easter eggs, you unlock another section of the story, and it's so good. You have so much content in the game that you're missing out on. You're not playing it.
But can you finish it? Because I've never been good enough at zombies to ever like get that far in it. But does it actually end? Because I think one thing that's held me back is the idea that you cannot beat this. You can get to, you know, you can try and beat the world record, get as, you know, to the highest level that anyone has ever reached before, but there will never be like an end credit sequence where they go, you completed zombies.
There is for some maps. So some maps, as long as you do their Easter egg, so you collect the certain weapons, I can't actually remember what one it is that I did last time. I think it was the one that's based on Alcatraz? What's that jail place called again in the
Alcatraz,
island?
Alcatraz, yeah, yeah.
Alcatraz. That.
Unless you're saying Broadmoor and really mispronouncing it.
Wow. I'm like, I didn't hear about that Call of Duty map.
But with that one, if you get all the things together, you can actually like fly away. Spoiler alert, you crash and die. So you don't technically win, but it's still so good.
It's quite an intense experience, isn't it, this
but
Call of Duty?
I guess people are coming to Call of Duty for completely different things. I mean, like, we've got, you know, differing opinions about what we prefer, whether it's zombies, single player or multiplayer, and you can't fault them for that. I think in terms of what I know you were saying about, you know, it's difficult to keep up with just these endless sort of releases, I think Warzone has done quite a good job of keeping everyone in this sort of centralized area. And if you don't get a new Call of Duty, it doesn't matter. You can also still always play with your friends on Warzone. Every Call of Duty comes with Warzone. It is still free. Because I think multiplayer on its own is a difficult thing to start now. If you've never played Call of Duty before, unless you are 14 or have the reactions of a 14-year-old, you're going to find it really, really hard to play a Call of Duty or any online shoot 'em up, really. Because the, you know, it's become more competitive, it's become more of an industry and more of an esport. It is, even in like the lowest of lobbies, it's difficult to even begin to get good. When you're just, if you take a few steps forward and you're immediately sort of shot in the head, you go, I don't know where to begin to improve. I don't know where I'm going wrong.
Yeah.
I think I've quite enjoyed the multiplayer experience so far. Look, I think that there's some, you know, people who play a lot of Call of Duty will have lots of thoughts on it, right? The time to kill is slightly longer, which suits me better. And I'm sort of looking at it and like, am I thinking, am I enjoying this multiplayer? Because for some reason, don't ask me why, I'm better at this Call of Duty than I have been at the last three or four. By my standards, I am tearing lobbies up.
Oh, no. I'm not accepting this. Stefan, you got Call of Duty early. You were playing with all the people that had it early and they're all trash, isn't it?
Do you know, I've got to say, the first match of multiplayer I played...
Come on, give me some slack, I know. No.
I'm with you on this, in that the first multiplayer match I played of Cold War... my team won, and then in the highlights video at the end where it shows you who had the best place, it shows you a kill streak, it was me, and I considered just putting the controller down there and going, oh, let's just leave it at that, let's just establish that I was the best player in the world and I'm happy to retire.
You've completed it, mate.
Exactly, yeah. I'm at a position where I never ever need to play it again.
I think it's interesting because I'm playing it on PS5 and I'm getting a very different experience to you, I think, Glenn.
Mine's in black and white, so yeah. we only get it for 2 hours a day.
Oh, deciphering enemies must be a nightmare.
So I've seen it on the PS4, and I don't think on the PS4 it looks as good as Modern Warfare. I think Modern Warfare, which is, you know, last year's Call of Duty on the PS4, looks actually a bit prettier, a bit better, and things like the maps are a bit more detailed, which I know competitive Call of Duty players really dislike Modern Warfare because you could open and close doors, and they were such big maps that forced the action to be much slower. Whereas this is much more traditional multiplayer, you know, sort of maps, much more sort of set up for that stuff. I think on the PS5, the sound on multiplayer is phenomenal.
I'm looking forward to that. I mean, even just from the PS4 version alone, you talk about sound. In terms of like the campaign sounds, you cannot fault the voice acting, the general sort of visceral nature of the sound effects as well. But also the soundtrack, they really, really hammer home that like this is set in the 80s. Every building you go into, they go, and here is another one of the most famous songs from the 80s. and that's a nice element. It gets a bit like it gets a bit gimmicky after a while. Like you never, for some reason, in any video game set in like say the 60s. It turns out they, for some reason, never ever played a song from like the 50s. It was like they only ever played songs from that specific year. but it's great. It's such an immersive game. They really, really do such a good job of putting you in the action in a way that I don't really think many other games manage to do at all.
I think my concern with it is that because it's doing so much, if you said, right, we're binning off one of them, so you'd have more time to focus on the other things, maybe that they would be slightly better. But I am having a lovely time with it. I'm it's the game I'm playing most at the moment.
Yeah.
And so I'm enjoying it. Now, let's have a guess of what the Metacritic score is then. Let's start with you, Rage. What do you think people are saying of from what you've seen, what you've heard Glenn and I talk about there? What do you think people are saying about the Metacritic score, this one?
Campaign is apparently good, according to Glenn. Multiplayer, more of the same? 79? 78? Can I say 78?
You can say 78. You've said 78. Ayla, what are you saying? Is this going to draw you back in?
Like, the campaign does sound very nice. And the audio design, I will say, like, if you've not played a Call of Duty game with surround sound, they're top draw. So, but in regards to this, I want to say 78, 78.
Well, Rage just said 78, so you can't say 78.
Oh, did you? Oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, you copycat.
My bad. I thought you said 79. 77
for mine. What are you saying, Glenn?
I think you guys are absolutely spot on, so I'm going to go the other side of Rage. I'm going to go 79.
79, so you're all pretty tight around 77. Now, Rage, remember last time when someone got something right, you had some party poppers to hand?
Yeah.
Get your party poppers out, mate. Here we go.
Oh, snap.
Oh.
Who is it?
All right, ready?
Okay, ready? No dogs nearby, Rage, to scare now. Okay.
Yeah, they're away.
They'll be all right. And with the correct score of 77, it's Aina!
Hey! Look at that. Even with the false change.
I think, like Glenn said, people are loving what they've done to the campaign. Mm-hmm. And those little tweaks are just slightly, those give you a little bit more of element of immersion and choice. But I think the multiplayer at the moment, judging, because I follow loads of Call of Duty pros because I watch the esports and stuff, and I think they're just, the lack of choice on the multiplayer at launch, I think, is putting people off, I think. And that's why probably it's dipped below that 80.
Do you reckon that's because they kind of rushed it for the next generation?
Yeah.
I mean, they have to get a Call of Duty game out every year, but...
I just think there's so much in it. I mean, we asked David Vonderhaar about this, and our interview with David Vonderhaar is in a previous episode, so go back and listen to that if you're a big Call of Duty fan. And there's also an article on Newsbeat online, you can read it up about it as well. And I think there's just so much stuff in it, you know, that it's difficult to get it all up to a super, super high bar. But there's bits that are amazing and bits that seem a bit undercooked at the moment.
And also, I think, obviously, a good thing is it's going to get better, but a downside to that is, by its nature, it's only going to get larger. And we should probably give a quick mention to the file size as well, especially if you have Warzone. Now, last night was probably the last time I'm ever going to play my PS4, but by the time I downloaded Cold War a few days ago, I only had space for Cold War, Warzone, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I didn't have space for any other games on the PS4. But Activision really, really take up a lot of place on your PlayStation.
So that's why you should be a PC player. You don't get that problem.
There we go.
You don't get that problem. I just bought another 2 terabyte SSD.
Oh, Glenn, look what you've done.
Sorry. Who have you got shares in? You've got shares with someone. That's what's happening here. Between Einel trying to get voice acting work and you with your shares on PC, I tell you what, you're falling foul of some BBC rules somewhere. Well, listen, let us know what you think of our review of Call of Duty there. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? What do you like about this year's version? Or actually, you've had enough and you're going to go back and just keep playing Warzone or go back and play Modern Warfare. What do you think? Let us know. Use the hashtag PressX to continue across all the socials. Thanks to everybody who's got in touch after our first few podcasts. It's been brilliant to hear from you. Now, James has got in touch suggesting a game for our Hall of Game, and he wants to put Command & Conquer from the PC back in 95 in there.
Yes. Wow. Good shout, James.
Yeah. Old school real-time strategy game, Command.
Do you remember those FMVs they had?
Yeah.
Oh, they were so good.
You used to have some big-time actors in Command & Conquer back
Tim,
in the day.
Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Have you seen the insane video where he goes, I'm going to go to the one place not corrupted by capitalism, space. And it's like he's trying to stop himself from laughing at how bad the dialogue is.
Glenn, you should share that. Find that video and share it so people can find it.
It's so astonishing. It's like he's reading the script for the first time and he's just got to that final word and gone, what?
He probably did read it for the first time.
Good suggestion, James. We'll have a think about that. Command & Conquer, see if we can find space for it in the Hall of Game.
Yeah, that's a very good suggestion.
Also, you know, just to say on the Hall of Game, H says I got bars because of Hall of Game. So if it's got the H seal of approval, then I think you can all stop criticising me for calling it the Hall of Game.
It's probably worth pointing out, in terms of putting stuff in the Hall of Game, if you do put in Warzone or Black Ops, there won't really be space for many other things in the Hall of Game.
Now, Dave Hill got in touch with us as well, and he was talking about what you were saying, Glenn, in our first episode about playing Watch Dogs 2 after playing The Last of Us 2. And he was saying that after playing Red Dead Redemption 2, that he was struggling to find something else to play after it because it was so good. And you actually had some tips for him, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I think what you need is a gaming palate cleanser. And the mistake I think you can make is if you love like an open world game, you're absolutely in love with what you think, nothing's ever going to beat this, do not play an open world game straight afterwards. Play a puzzle game or some platformer, something that is a completely different genre, because otherwise all you will attempt to do is try and compare it in your head. And that, I think that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make. So if you're struggling after like Red Dead 2, play something like Hades or you know, a Cuphead or something like that. Just something completely of a different genre.
And Shane messaged to, I mean, there's loads of you getting in touch, so sorry we didn't get on to everybody, but Shane was agreeing with what Els was saying about The Sims. And I know, we know you're a big Sims fan as well, Rage. He was saying he loved Sims 2 and 3, but for him, Sims 4 missed the mark. And it sounds like that's what lots of people are thinking.
I hate disagreeing with people because it makes me feel like I'm doing it on purpose, but I really love Sims 4. Like, Sims 4 was a jump in technology because they had like the emotions, the faces were like really realistic. They went through like different stages. Like, if you were to chat with someone and you would like, you know, make a fool of yourself because you'd mess a joke up, for example, like, Glenn, you should know this, you were but you'd feel embarrassed, right? If you missed the mark on a joke, you'd feel embarrassed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your sim would go through like embarrassed stages, and then it would like fail the rest of them because it would knock their confidence. That I really loved, because the original, the second one, the third one, they were all kind of samey. The fourth one's really where they pushed the boat a little bit for me, but I know, I guess that's a really unpopular opinion.
Well, Shane, what do you think? Let us know. Hashtag press X to continue. It's actually a bit of a mouthful when you say it more than once. But yeah, listen, it's been brilliant to hear from you all. Thanks for getting in touch. Keep them coming. Keep your messages coming in. What do you want to see in the Hall of Game? Do you disagree with what people are saying about the games we're talking about today? Let us know. Now, we're talking about Spider-Man Miles Morales next.
You got to take the oath. I promise to do everything in my power to protect this city. I promise.
Aynel, you've got this one. Of course, yeah. It's out on the PS4 and the PS5. It's going to cost you £50 and upwards. £70 for the Ultimate Edition on PS5.
Ultimate, yeah.
That is a lot of money.
First off, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales. Yeah, full title.
He's got a problem with full title and stuff, hasn't he?
It's like, you know, it's like the sexy G, isn't it? And sexy.
Yeah,
G.
Come on.
There's a big difference. Yeah. Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Do you know what? I didn't have my doubts. I always knew I liked the character of Miles Morales, and I was excited for this. I wasn't especially ecstatic because I played the previous Spider-Man on PS4. It was a great game, probably one of the best kind of superhero games you could probably play last generation, outside the wonderful 101. And I just thought, and this isn't a full sequel. This is like a standalone adventure about Miles Morales. And I think if you go in accepting it as that, I think you're going to enjoy it a lot more. So basically, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales is a third-person adventure game where you control Miles' version of Spider-Man in the universe. If you've played the previous one, it's a continuation of the story from the last game on the PS4. And this version follows Miles. And as the title says, it's all about him. He is the star. And I have to say, just from a representation point of view, like, you'd start up the game, it loads up in like 2 seconds. Immediately you're presented with Miles right there. He's got the clean fade. He's like a mixed race Afro-Latino teenager. He's looking fly. He's got his phone. He's got his headphones. I'm like, yeah, I can dig this character straight away. And straight away, he endears himself to you as the first opening cutscene. He's walking around like New York City. He's seeing people in his community. He's talking in various different languages. And he even knows sign language in this game. It's very inclusive. And I'm like, oh, I love this guy already. And Insomniac and Sony really want you to like this guy because he is essentially taking over responsibilities from Peter Parker's Spider-Man and looking after New York City.
Yeah. it's only about 10 hours long, isn't it? You know, from start to finish. It's not, I mean...
That's perfect length for me.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to get on to it. But for someone like Rage, who likes... I don't even know how many hours you've spent on World of Warcraft, Rage.
I don't want to answer that question. I don't even know. But one of my characters has got 35 days played. Just one character.
No, I know this is a different experience to that, and you're not putting 35 days into the Spider-Man, but is 10 hours as their big sellers, the game of the PS5? We heard Jim Ryan saying it to us on the PS5 special. Spider-Man is their game to show off the PS5, and it's 10, 15 hours, you know, maybe slightly more if you're a bit of a slower paced player. Is that enough, Fina?
Do you know what? It is. It's basically 10 hours on bombastic, action-packed Spider-Man adventure. And what? Why would you need more? I hate games that overstay their welcome, where you're playing it, you're enjoying the first initial couple of hours, and then you get into it, and then some of the mechanics start to annoy you, some things get repetitive, and then by the end, you're like, it's a slog to finish it. This game is 10 hours. You could finish this in a weekend if you really just sit down and play it, and you're going to enjoy all those 10 hours. Plus, there's no loading screens. There's no loading screens. Yes, Rage. When you turn on Spider-Man, it takes 2 seconds to boot and you're on the title screen. You press to select your save file. Another 2 seconds, you're playing.
That's on the PS5, yeah? That's on the PS5.
That's on PS5, yeah. PS4, there's loading.
I wonder if we're going to miss those. I wonder if we are going to miss loading times eventually, you know, and reminisce about times that, you know, it's like, well, if you're playing like the new Elder Scrolls, like the, you know, any sequel to Skyrim, you're going to be like, well, where am I going to get my tips? You know, I used to enjoy sitting there for 2 minutes rotating a vase.
Oh, yeah. No time for tool tips, Glenn.
The loading, the lack of loading is that I think this is the first fully next gen sort of experience I've had, because that's the big thing I noticed. You know, we've talked about the controller and the sound design in Call of Duty and what have you, but it's like, oh, wait, I almost like I went to drink my tea and I was like, oh, no, I can't do that now because I'm back in the game.
Like, my life is loading screens in WoW right now, literally, because we're all like the part of WoW right now. We're doing like a pre-patch event. So we're constantly teleporting between cities and there's big loading screens because there's so many people on. So my life is loading screens. But you know what? Do you know what I love when games like, you know, you do a cutscene and they're like, you and your character are strolling amongst the other character and you're just like chilling, you're vibing, and then all of a sudden you don't realize, but that's actually disguised as a loading screen, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're in the game. Does Spider-Man have that?
No, it doesn't need it.
Oh, wow.
When you say you want to fast travel and you go on the map and you say, oh, I want to get to the other side of New York City, but I don't really want to kind of swing all the way there. You go into the map, you click fast travel, the screen goes black, comes back up straight away.
Whoa. You're there.
It's
crazy.
It's mind-blowing. Oh, my God.
Is there much to do outside of the main storyline? Because I've never been much of like a collectibles person or anything like that, but the Spider-Man that came out a couple of years ago, they had really fun extra stuff to do that I really felt compelled to do, more so than I would in any other sort of open world game. Is it just storyline driven, or is there much to do outside of that?
No, there's a whole bunch of side quests. This isn't spoilers, but Miles and his friend Genki, they...
Oh, the one who dies at the end, yeah.
they develop a Spider-Man app in which people can kind of contact Spider-Man if they need assistance with anything, and then it goes to the app, and then what you can do on your phone, you swipe on the touchpad, and there's a whole list of like people who need your help for a certain thing. So one of the missions is someone's stolen all the toys from the kids. We got to stop them. That sort of thing. It's like, oh no, not at Christmas. Well, obviously, the American.
Like your Manhattan.
yeah. That's my New York. Someone's stolen it from the kids. Yeah, I'm dark in here. Yeah. Imagine that. But like, but basically. But you can literally select these optional tasks and you can help, and it's really endearing because it is essentially part of the story, because it's Miles trying to take on the moniker of being what it means to be a Spider-Man in New York City and being the protector of New York, because Peter Parker's gone, story reasons, and it's up to Miles to look after the city.
But for me, the just like the original, the swinging around is super fun. The PS5 version looks and plays seamlessly and brilliantly. I am never been very good with combos. I've always been rubbish at fighting games. like my fast twitch fibers aren't good enough. You know, my little fingers can't quite work it out right. So I struggle a little bit with that. For me, I'm more drawn to superhero characters that I think that are a bit darker. So I always prefer the Batman Arkham games to the Spider-Man series. You know, even as brilliant as the last one was. So it's a bit like I've played it. I'm glad I've experienced it. If you love it, I get it, but it's not necessarily for me, because I just feel like if I'm spending £70 on this Ultimate Edition and I want the Miles Morales experience, I don't know if there's enough in there for me. And even though it's an open world, it's a big map, it's a big open world map. Well, I agree with what Gav was saying on our PlayStation 5 special. We touched on Spider-Man a little bit then as well. It feels a little bit old-fashioned for me. The way that it's set out, unlike Red Dead Redemption in the open world where you feel like you're part of it, it feels like window dressing a little bit New York.
I do get what you mean. And just a quick note on the Ultimate Edition for PS5, it includes Miles Morales and it also includes a remastered version of the original PS4 Spider-Man as well. So the reason why that price is so high, you essentially get two games. But in terms of it feeling kind of last gen, I do get what you mean. There's a lot of fetch quests and things like that and hidden things. Go to this marker, collect this thing, go to that marker, collect that thing. But I think the vibe around this Spider-Man is different. I was speaking to a friend of mine, shout out Nims, and we was having a discussion about this as well. Spider-Man PS4 is a fantastic game. Like, it's a great game. And if you have played this, you will enjoy this as well. It's more of the same. If you haven't played this one, Miles Morales it's got a different vibe. And the game is solely based around this character, who he is, his family life, his morals, and everything about him. It's centered around this Spider-Man. And it feels very different because we are exploring a Spider-Man that we haven't really seen too many times.
He's a cool character. He's a cool character. Mm. And some of those the cutscenes are quite fun as well. And where you get to learn more about him, that's all great. Okay, what do you think then, Glenn, from what you've heard, what you've seen, Metacritic, what are you saying?
I mean, the first Spider-Man that came out a couple of years ago, I reckon is a solid 90. So I reckon this will be 86.
86 from Glenn. Rage, what are you saying?
I'm going to say about 93 because I now sold it.
Big sales job there, Einel. What are you going with?
You know, I'll accept all sort forms of checks and things. I'm going for 92. I mean, we haven't even spoke about the ray tracing in this game as well. The first proper kind of use of ray tracing on the PS5. You can turn it on. You can see yourself swinging by the windows in the shiny glass. It looks so good. The photo mode is insane in terms of the stuff you can do in the photo mode. You can add lights in photo mode. So you can put lighting where you want the lighting to go. All right, 92.
I think we all agree that Aina liked it. Aina loved it, so...
If there was like some like really dumb person out there who had like no idea what ray tracing was, how would you describe it to them?
It's the way in which lighting the game realistically in a video game. So if you want like reflections, the way reflections are done in previous games, it's just been like approximations and things. And we've seen that in video games. It kind of is a reflection, but it isn't. I can't see myself in that reflection. Mm. This, you can see yourself to the point where you can see people crossing the street behind you by looking in the reflection, but you can't see that character on the screen anywhere. But you can see them in the reflection crossing the street. I can see the traffic light is red at the moment by looking at the reflection over there. I can see around the corner by looking at a window there and seeing what's around that corner. And that's going to be really interesting, and that's going to play a huge part in multiplayer titles in the future. Being able to kind of see enemies. Like, imagine Call of Duty and you can see someone come around the corner through the reflection before they've even come around the corner. That's going to come into play. I know games like Fortnite have already added it, but like when that comes, that becomes like a more of a mainstream thing, that's going to be incredible.
Great. Now I know.
None of you got the answer right, I'm afraid, on the Metacritic score. It's 85 overall.
Is it going to be so short?
That's really shocking. 85. That's really shocking.
Mm. 85. There we are. Well, look, if you agree or disagree, you know what to do. Let us know. Hashtag press X to continue across all the socials. Now, also just to show, people listening to this on the week of when it goes out, on the week of the 24th, then, and you're into some esports. We've touched upon competitive Call of Duty a little bit today. But the BBC are putting some CSGO Counter-Strike live on the iPlayer. You go and check it out.
Hi, it's Mighty Max here, IAG of a Team Endpoint. Watch me and my team take on some of the best Counter-Strike players in the world in the CSGO Blast Premier Full Series live on BBC iPlayer from Tuesday, 24th of November.
Good luck to the guys in the tournament. And remember, you can check out that CSGO Blast event on the BBC iPlayer this week. So go and check it out. So, Rage, you've been hosting a Warzone tournament. Your other half is a big Warzone fan, and you sometimes a bit of a Warzone widow. We've talked about, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops, and Glenn mentioned this sort of this crossover event. It has been the game that sort of, for lots of people, dominated lockdown and 2020, really, isn't it?
For starters, Warzone's free. So, like, if you've got mates that are playing Warzone and you're like, I kind of want to try it, but kind of don't, there's no reason not to, as long as you have the installation space, because again, Activision likes big installation file sizes. I think it's like 175 gigabyte or something to install Warzone. So I was like, oh, I don't really want to try it, but I had a go, and like, I'm addicted. I'm playing almost every night, and like, I'm hosting that Warzone tournament this weekend. So I like it. It's really good.
The thing that Warzone does is they does incredibly well amongst a billion other things. Is just the amount of additional elements that they have. And like, you know, a month ago they had this trucks mode, which just completely changed the landscape of the game, and suddenly had these huge vehicles that you were looking after, and that was chaotic and really good fun. And then suddenly 2 weeks later, it's vanished. You're never going to see it again. And, you know, for all we know, they're never going to come back to that. Then Halloween, they introduced zombies into the game. So if you died in Warzone, you came back as a zombie. You had the chance to come back then as a human. But that was really, really exciting as well. They added a nighttime mode, because usually Warzone is only set during the day. But again, these things vanish after like a month. So I think probably, potentially, maybe in the next couple of weeks, we'll see a, you know, an 80s version of Verdansk, and there'll be a really involved different version of Warzone. But just like with everything else to do in Warzone, it will be there for 1 week, it will get people excited, then it will vanish, you'll never hear about it again, and then something brand new will come along and you'll forget that you even cared about trucks a month ago.
I'm a bit boring. I get to like I really loved Night Mode when it came. I was like, yes, loving this. Yeah. And then when it goes, it's like, oh, I was really enjoying that.
Like, I hear Glenn telling me about all these different, like, modes and events, essentially, that they're introducing to the game for, like, limited time. And I will say, like, it sounds absolutely fantastic for those that are already there. Jumping in at this point feels almost like there's no point. It feels like there's just too much to catch up on. For me, I just want a simple game. Which game is all my friends playing? Is it this? All right, let's play it. And what?
I think Warzone fulfills that, though, because it is just, you know, Warzone is this one constant, and for every Call of Duty game that's going to come out, Warzone is always going to be the same mode. And I think it is, if you do want to start now, you almost have to start with a team full of people who are also new to it, and you can join it together and enjoy it. Because, I mean, if it wasn't for the fact of my team, the Winky Boys, I probably wouldn't be playing it. I'm not someone who likes playing solos. I don't really like playing duos. I only really do trios or quads. But also because I think it's been especially handy because of the pandemic and because everyone's been stuck at home. And I think, you know, men in general are absolutely incapable of just ringing each other up and having a conversation. So like, it was the only way my friends were going to sort of keep in touch, like on a weekly sort of basis and hang out that way. And I felt I was definitely behind my team by a good couple of months when I joined, and I felt very overwhelmed. But the fact that we were part of a team and they were sort of helping me drag through it meant that we've introduced other people to it and enjoyed help bring them up to speed. And it's not too overwhelming an experience, I don't think.
All right. Basically, I'm asking, can I play with you?
That's yes, you can. Team Press X to continue for Rage's tournament. It's happening. We're going to have to do it. It's going to be fun.
You see the sexy G coming.
Yeah. You see the sexy G, like, making kills on the field. But, oh, he's coming.
Look at that kill death ratio.
Well, Warzone does good, as you can have someone in your team that's not necessarily as good as everybody else, but you can sort of carry them along. We've shout out to producer Toby, who has got a fair few wins on Warzone purely by following our colleague James around the map. James get all the kills, but Toby hangs out in the house till the end, and then bang, he's got that big victory with zero kills. Doesn't matter.
So he just carries the team's kit. He's got all the football boots in his bag.
The kit guy.
Look, so let us know what you think about Warzone. And if you've got any ideas, if you've got any bright sparks about how you think they're going to cross the new Call of Duty with Warzone, how that's going to work, then you know what to do. Get in touch. Share your thoughts. Hashtag PressX to continue. And it's time for the Hall of Game Choice. We're going to go back, actually, to H, my mate, friend of the podcast, who has got his suggestion for the Hall of Game and, on a Call of Duty theme. You like this? I've called it Hall of Game.
Nice.
Do you see?
Yeah.
It's an awful name. I know that, but hey, it's too late now. I'm
working, it's working.
Okay, great. That's from H, that is. So, if you had to put like your favorite game of all time, you have to pick one, what would it be?
I'm just really thinking about it. You know what I mean? Played a lot of games, but I reckon, and I'm not even just saying this, it's either going to be MW2, Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare 2. It's almost as if he knew that was the last one you played, Einel, and he chose it just for you.
There you go. No Russian. He knew about that level.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, you remember that? That was the controversy.
Yeah, I just remember playing it being like, they didn't need to put this in the game. Someone designed this.
No,
they always do that, though, don't they? They always put something in there that makes you go, like,
yeah, why is this here?
I thought that was going to be the end of the series, but turns out, no.
Yeah, people have missed the controversy about a mission called No Russian, where you played as a terrorist and had the choice to whether or not you wanted to gun down innocent civilians in an airport. And you can imagine the newspaper coverage after that one. But I think this is, and I'd really love to know what people think. I think this is the best Call of Duty of all time because it's the one that sets Call of Duty up to what it is now.
Ooh.
Right? And so people will disagree with me. Get in touch. Hashtag press X to continue. For me, H has made the right choice because look at the characters that this one introduced. Roach, Soap, Captain Price, the most famous characters.
Mm.
And not forgetting as well, I just remembered I had to just check the IMDb. That was full of some amazing voice actors as well, that game. Craig Fairbrass, Keith David was in it as well. What? Billy Murray as well. Oh my gosh. The voice acting in that Modern Warfare 2 was...
I think it's the only it's the only Call of Duty game where by the end of a campaign, I knew all the characters' names and remembered them all and knew who was who. Usually you don't really sort of seem to care, but it was so cinematic, that campaign. And I think one of the greatest moments in the game is sort of towards the end where suddenly you're just put in the shoes of a different character. You're suddenly put in the shoes of an astronaut in the middle of space who just watches an electromagnetic pulse going off in the US. And then you just fall to the earth. I mean, that's all you see of that person. And then suddenly you put back on the ground and helicopters are falling from the sky. And it was just so... That really felt like... I mean, I think it was on PS3. I think it was, and even then, it was, you know, relatively early days of PS3. And I felt like it was even pushing the boundaries of that console there.
Yeah. So good choice, H. Modern Warfare 2 from 2009 in the Hall of Game. Thank you very much for sticking with us, you XC beasts. See you on Tuesday for the next episode of Press X. And see you in the Discord. Bye-bye.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.